Welcome to Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that helps organizations throughout the world with their digital transformation journeys. Here, you will find independent and technology agnostic advice with no software vendor sales spin to help you make the best decisions for your organization. Whether you are in the process of selecting technology, in the midst of your transformation, or trying to get your initiative back on track, Digital Stratosphere provides expertise and best practices to help.
An effective business case is one of the biggest keys to digital transformation success, yet most organizations fail to address this critical success factor. I'm going to talk about why that is and what you can do differently here today. My name is Eric Kimberling. I'm the CEO of Third Stage Consulting. We're an independent consulting firm that helps clients through their digital transformation journeys. And business cases are one of those things that's very important, but most organizations view it as a nice to have or a nuance or something that is a difficult thing that they don't want to have to deal with. And without a business case, there's a complete lack of direction and lack of vision and a lack of governance that comes along with your project, which is why business cases are so important to digital transformations. So what I want to talk about today are, first of all, how can you create a realistic business case? And even more importantly, how can you use that business case to ensure that your project is more successful in its overall transformation? Now, first of all, it helps to understand what some of the challenges are, the common challenges of creating a business case. And as I mentioned at the top of the video, the first challenge is that many organizations view it as a nuisance, something they don't want to have to deal with, something they don't feel like they need, and so they end up not doing it at all. For organizations that do create a business case, some of the challenges include unrealistic view of what the costs and benefits are. That's probably the biggest one, is that they have an unrealistic view of what the real costs are going to be or what the benefits are going to be. They're overly optimistic about the costs and benefits, and they really view it or treat the business case as something that's used to try and sell the project to a board or to a management team, but it has no use beyond that. So that's another common challenge. Another challenge is that organizations feel as though that they don't need a business case because they're going to do the transformation anyway. There's no choice but to go forward with the transformation, so why bother taking the time to create a business case? So those are a few of the challenges and a few of the common dynamics we see, and I'm here to tell you that all three of those examples I give you are very common mistakes and are going to lead to problems later on. That may not seem obvious to you now, but I want to unpack what the purpose of a business case is and what it should be to your organization, and hopefully provide some direction on how to create a better business case. But before I do that, it's helpful to look at what is the purpose of a business case. And a business case is not only used for justification to sell the project to your management team or your board of directors, but it's also to create a vision of what the impact to the organization is and should be. And so we really want to change the way we think about business cases to really think about not just how do we get justification or approval for the project, but how do we ensure that we are actually setting a vision of realizing the overall direction and setting a tone and vision for the project going forward. The first step to an effective business case is to create a understanding and quantify an understanding of the total cost of ownership. And this goes well beyond the acquisition of software and even the acquisition of services to help implement the software. We also have to look at the total cost of backfilling your internal resources to address the resource needs internally for your transformation. It entails any sort of hardware or infrastructure upgrade you might need to embark on. And it's awfully tempting to think that you're not going to have to worry about any sort of infrastructure upgrade because you're moving to the cloud. And if that's true and you're moving to the cloud, it's important to recognize there probably are other hidden costs that you want to make sure you're capturing there on the infrastructure side. And then it also is helpful to look at things that are not related to the technology itself, but are related to the transformation itself. So in other words, there are costs that are going to be incurred not directly related to the software, but more related to the transformation in general. So for example, I mentioned the backfilling of internal resources, but you also have to look at, for example, data migration. How are we going to migrate all of our old data? How are we going to cleanse that old data, map it to the new system? There's a cost affiliated with that overall work stream. You also have organizational change management as another example. How are we going to manage change? How are we going to handle training? All those are examples of direct and indirect costs that factor into your total cost of ownership as it relates to your business case. So one word of warning as it relates to defining your total cost of ownership is to not take your system integrator and your software vendor's proposed cost as the actual cost of the implementation. There's two reasons for that. One is because they've typically underestimated the time and cost associated with your implementation because they're in sales mode and there's no incentive for them to be completely realistic. If anything, they're going to downplay and maybe minimize the expected cost associated with your project. The other reason you don't want to base your total cost of ownership simply on your software vendor system integrator's proposal or their input is because there's a lot of non-vendor related costs that are going to go along with your transformation. So as I mentioned before, data migration, change management, training, backfilling your resources, infrastructure upgrades. There's a lot of different internal and indirect costs that are unrelated to your vendor, unrelated to the technology itself, but they're very material and real costs that need to be factored into your total cost of ownership. So the first step is to not only define your total cost of ownership in the cost side of your cost-benefit equation, but to do so in a very realistic way. And one of the best ways to do that is to benchmark against what organizations actually achieve. And that's something that independent organizations like Third Stage that help clients every day through these sorts of transformations can help you to define in a way that's unique to you and aligned with who you are as an organization.
If you are trying to achieve digital transformation success, turn to Third Stage Consulting Group. Third Stage's independent and technology-agnostic consulting team helps clients define their digital strategies, select the right software, and manage their implementations. With offices in the U.S., Europe, and Australia, our team helps the world's most forward-thinking organizations through their transformation pitfalls and risks. Whether you are embarking on an ERP, HCM, CRM, supply chain management, or any other digital transformation, contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.
The next step is to identify and quantify what the tangible business benefits are of your transformation or what you expect those business benefits to be. Now, tangible benefits are things that are directly attributed to the transformation itself, and they're things that you can quantify. So it's going to be things like inventory reduction. We might be able to reduce our inventory by X percent because we've got better demand forecasting, we have better visibility into our supply chain, we're doing less inventory stockpiling to account for the fact that we're having inventory outages and customer delivery issues. Those sorts of benefits can be quantified and directly attributed to the technology and to the transformation itself. So those are some of the things you want to identify. In addition to inventory, another common benefit category is related to labor. So the amount of time and effort and cost affiliated with people and their efficiency and their overall business processes and workflows. So if we're able to automate business processes and free up people's time to do other things, or if we're able to grow without having to hire more staff, or if we're looking to potentially downsize or cut back our staff, those are all tangible, quantifiable, measurable business benefits that can be directly attributed to the overall transformation. So labor cost is another common thing that we look at in quantifying. Another common tangible business benefit is related to IT cost and support and maintenance cost. So if we, for example, are using an old mainframe legacy-based homegrown system and we have a bunch of people supporting that system because they're the only people in the world that know how to use that system, perhaps that all goes away if we move to a commercial off-the-shelf cloud solution. So what are the costs and the benefits associated with moving to a cloud solution? We can identify that by quantifying those business benefits in a way that's very tangible. So those are just a few examples of those tangible business benefits that are directly related to your transformation that you want to make sure you quantify as part of your business case analysis. In addition to tangible business benefits, we also want to look at intangible benefits or soft business benefits. These are things that are directly attributed to the transformation, but they're things that are harder to quantify. Now, in a perfect world, we would quantify all of our benefits, and everything has a price tag or a cost affiliated with that benefit. But in some cases, we can't quantify them, or they're very difficult to quantify. So examples of intangible business benefits would include things like a better customer experience, or increased customer satisfaction, or enhanced employee user experience. Those are all things that we hope to get out of our transformation, and we oftentimes hope to get out of new technology, but that can be very difficult to quantify. There might be some indirect quantification or some rough estimates that we could kind of guess at what those quantifiable benefits might be, but they're largely intangible, sort of nice-to-haves or things that we hope to impact the organization in a positive way. So we also want to look at those intangible benefits because they can be just as important as the tangible business benefits, although making meaning of them or making decisions based on those intangible business benefits is a bit more difficult. It's still helpful to define them because it helps set the tone and the vision for what it is we want to accomplish with the overall transformation. So be sure to not only look at tangible business benefits, but also those intangible benefits as well. Now, if there's one key to success I can provide to you in terms of how to translate and convert a theoretical business case into actual results, it would be to treat your business case not as a justification tool, but more of a benefits realization tool. And what I mean by that is, rather than just saying we want to reduce inventory by 20%, let's just say, if that's your goal, that's great, but now we need to translate that into something actionable and meaningful into different parts of the organization so we can hold people accountable, define business processes that help achieve those benefits, and provide that overall governance that's going to help us make decisions throughout the project to help us achieve those business benefits identified in the business case. So the focus needs to be on identifying where those benefits are going to come from, who's going to be responsible for it, which parts of the organization are going to contribute to a bigger picture metric. So in the example of a 20% inventory reduction, that might be a corporate-wide, organization-wide metric. But now we've got to translate and unpack that metric to now apply to different parts of the organization. So if we have multiple locations, multiple warehouses, we've got different procurement departments that are involved in procuring the inventory that we're trying to reduce, we need to get all those people aligned with helping achieve that business benefit of a 20% inventory reduction. The technology itself isn't going to do it. That's not going to be enough for us. We need to also set a goal and define what the new business processes and roles and responsibilities are to help us achieve that 20% reduction. And we need to do it in a way to where we can hold individual work groups in different parts of the organization accountable to their contributions to a 20% inventory reduction. So that's just a different way of thinking about a business case, to not only quantify what the 20% number is at the top level, but also define how are different parts of the organization going to contribute to that overarching business benefit. So having that benefits realization and optimization plan is very important, and it also is important in driving a lot of the organizational change management and process improvement types of activities that should inevitably be part of any sort of successful digital transformation. So these are just a few tips to help you define a business case that helps you not only justify and approve the project, but also to help you achieve the business benefits and optimize the business benefits that you expect to get out of your transformation. For more best practices and lessons on how to make your project successful, I encourage you to download our 2021 Digital Transformation Report, which includes a ton of best practices and lessons learned from our client experience in helping drive digital transformations in some pretty complex organizations throughout the globe. So I encourage you to download that. I've included a link below that'll provide you some good best practices and some direction as you get started on your digital transformation journey. And I also encourage you to reach out. If you've got questions or like to discuss your digital transformation in more detail, feel free to reach out. I'd be happy to be a sounding board for you as you continue your journey. So I hope you found this information useful. Hope you have a great day.
Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.